In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today in the Gospel reading, we hear this brief parable the Lord tells about the camel going through the eye of the needle. And he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is this rich man? The rich man is the one who is attached to the things of this world and doesn't want to let them go. It's like the monkey. He puts his hands through the bar and grabs the banana and doesn't want to let it go, and he can't bring it through the bars to eat it. This is how the rich man is. The rich man is someone who's too big for his britches, who thinks too highly of himself or herself. The one who's full of himself, puffed up. When you're puffed up with yourself, you can't pass through the eye of the needle. It's a very small space, the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. You see? The rich man is too big to pass through into the kingdom of heaven. But strangely, his heart is very small. His chest is all puffed up, but inside there's a tiny little heart. It shrinks to almost nothing, so that it can't contain anyone except himself. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn to be small if we are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but with big hearts. Small enough to go through the eye of a needle, that narrow little entrance into heaven, which means letting go of everything, all attachments, not trying to take anything with us, but at the same time, with hearts so big that they embrace the whole world. How do we do that? How do we become small, but with big hearts? And the answer is the eighth fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about all the fruits of the Spirit, and now we come to the eighth one. And it's usually translated as gentleness. It's praftis in Greek. And that could be translated in a variety of ways, like spiritual poverty, meekness, humility, smallness of ego, or gentleness. It means to see ourselves as small before God and before others, not to exalt ourselves, but to see others as greater, worthy of our serving them. Real gentleness is not weakness, it's strength. This is what we see in our Lord, who is always firm as a rock and is the rock that never changes. And yet, he was lowly, he was meek, he humbled himself, he washed his disciples' feet. The epistle to the Galatians talks about the law. It talks about the law as our tutor or our custodian, bringing us to whom? To Christ. The law of the Old Testament was meant to bring the Israelites to recognize the Messiah. St. Paul says it's our tutor leading us to Christ. And ultimately, the law becomes unnecessary when we have Christ. But to have Christ means that he becomes everything to us. It means that we give our hearts to him. And if we give our hearts completely to Christ, then you see, you can understand, there's no law needed for us. There's no law that tells us what we need to do when we're already giving our whole hearts to Christ. The problem is that we don't give our whole hearts to Christ, and that's why we need rules, and that's why we need somebody to come along and say, that's not a good idea, because we're not giving our whole hearts to Christ. If our heart belongs to Christ, we take delight in him. Really, he's the delight of our life. It's our delight to do his will. Thou shalt nots are no longer necessary, because our whole delight is to do the will of God. This is the better way. This is the true Christian way. This is the way of the gospel that supersedes the law. It's the best way to live. Paradoxically, two things happen when we give our heart completely to Christ. Our ego shrinks to nothing, and we can fit through the eye of the needle, which is the passage into the kingdom of heaven, and our heart grows, it enlarges, it becomes enormous, and it goes on growing and growing until it can embrace everyone with love, the whole world, desiring the salvation of all, which is God's desire. It's an enormous desire. It's a magnificent desire. It's a desire that can't be contained in a tiny little heart. And yet by God's grace, the impossible can become possible. And our hearts can grow to that extent that we too love the whole world. Giving our hearts to Christ enables us to bear with others. To bear with. And if you think about it, in a sense, the whole struggle, the struggling part of our Christian life is learning to bear with. To bear with our circumstances, to bear with whatever God allows for us, and especially to bear with other people. To put up with them, to be patient with them, to humble ourselves before them. And if our hearts belong to Christ, then He gives us the strength to bear with those around us. And the more we practice it, the more gentle of spirit we become. There is a parable about porcupines, short little parable or illustration. Once in the forest, it was terribly cold. It was the coldest it had ever been, far below freezing, and all the animals were dying. But the porcupines realized that what they had to do was to band together and to stay close together, and their warmth would be shared among them and they would stay alive. However, there was a problem. They all had quills, and when they got close to each other, they were pricking each other with the quills and giving each other little wounds. So then they all started to be tempted to leave the group. But they realized that would be madness, because if they left, they would die. It would be death. They had to stick together, and they had to learn to bear with the little wounds that they gave each other, to be patient with that, knowing that by bearing with that, they would be saved. And this is how it is, brothers and sisters. And there's no one more than the saints, than the Mother of God, or Saint Catherine, whom we commemorate today, who exhibit this, who show us this way of gentleness and of putting up with the other, of lowering ourselves that we might raise others up. And of course, more than anyone, our Lord Jesus Christ does this. St. John Chrysostom talks about the gentleness of Christ, His gentleness, and says when the high priest slapped Him in the gospel, the Lord could have struck Him back. He could have struck Him with a lightning bolt. He could have struck Him down dead instantly, and everybody else who was against Him. But He didn't. He remained peaceful and calmly responded, "If I have said anything wrong, produce the evidence. But if I spoke the truth, why do you hit me?" St. John Chrysostom says, anger steals peace when we give in to it. On the other hand, when we respond to other people's anger and wildness and agitation with a peaceful response, we might even calm them down, and it's certainly better for ourselves. Of course, this is easier said than done. We know that. But St. John Chrysostom says this, practice in advance. Practice for that moment. He says, memorize the words of the Lord and write these words in your hearts. If I said anything wrong, produce the evidence. But if I spoke the truth, why do you hit me? Why do you insult me? Why do you yell at me? Why do you fill in the blank? Rather than lashing out in reaction, St. John says, by keeping these words in our hearts, we can make perfect peace dwell within us. Often when we lose our peace, when we get agitated and lose a gentle spirit, it's because we feel pressure, some pressure in our life. There's something that is pushing Christ out of our heart, And sadly, when we get overwhelmed with our circumstances, often we do the very last thing we should do. We separate ourselves. We isolate ourselves. We turn away. We try to figure it out on our own. We get frantic, running around like a headless chicken. You see? But that's just dumb. It's the worst thing that we can do. The one thing that we must do is the one thing needful, which is to get down on our knees before Christ and pray. So what are we called to do? We're called to have the gentle response, the one that keeps us gentle, not to mention peaceful, calm, and full of self-control. And how can we do this? And I've already said it. It's by praying. Through prayer. There's no other way but to learn to pray without ceasing, to learn to pray in each circumstance, and even when the person is yelling at you, and even when the person is irritating you and driving you crazy, and that at that moment more than any other, to pray. To stop all of our craziness, all of the franticness, and to pray. To turn to the only one who can do something about it, and to pray. To turn to the only one our heart should belong to, and to give our heart to him in prayer. And I'll end with a favorite story of mine. It's about a certain women's monastery where they were getting ready to receive guests. It was for a feast day, and there was so much to do to prepare. They had to get the food ready and the church ready and everything that they were going to be, the places where they were going to be keeping the guests and so on, everything they needed to do to prepare for this big day. And it was the day before, and it was time for their morning services, which were long. And some of the sisters came to the abbess and said, "Mother, considering that we have so much work to get done today, don't you think we should shorten the services a little bit? Shorten our prayer time so that we have more time to get all the work done?" What do you think the abbess said? She paused, she thought about it for a moment, and then she said, "Actually, since we have so much work to do, we must pray for longer in order to have more strength from God." This is not the way the world thinks, is it? It's the opposite of the way the world teaches us to think, but it's the way our Holy Church teaches us to think. It's the way the saints think. It's the way the Lord teaches us to think. What a way for us, if we could just capture that sense, that if we give our hearts to Christ, He'll take care of it. We have nothing to be fearful of, nothing to be anxious about. But we must give our hearts to Him. If we do this, if we struggle to continue to give our hearts to Christ, then He will give us the Holy Spirit. He will enable us to have all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, including that gentleness, so that we might become small enough to enter into the kingdom, and that our hearts might become big enough to embrace all people in love. May God grant it to us. Amen.